Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, 11th chapter, Lord Krishna's entrance into Dwarka, text 27. Shita Atapatra, white umbrella, Vyajanai, with a chamara fan, Upaskritaha, being served by Prasuna, flowers, Varshai, by the showers, Abhivarshitaha, thus being covered, Pathi, on the road, Pishangavasa, by the yellow garments, Bonamalaya, by the flower garlands, Bobho, thus it became, Ghanaha, cloud, Yatha, as if, Arka, the sun, Urupa, the moon, Chapa, the rainbow, Vaidutai, by the lightning. As the Lord passed along the public road of Dwarka, his head was protected from the sunshine by a white umbrella. White feather fans moved in semicircles, and showers of flowers fell upon the roads. His yellow garments and garlands of flowers made it appear as if a dark cloud was surrounded simultaneously by sun, moon, lightning, and rainbow. Please repeat after me. As the Lord passed along the public road of Dwarka, his head was protected from the sunshine by a white umbrella. White feathered fans moved in semicircle, and showers of flowers fell upon the road. His yellow garments and garlands of flowers made it appear as if a dark cloud were surrounded simultaneously by sun, moon, lightning, and rainbows. Purport by Srila Prabhupada.
Settlement between my and my. He tried to make compromise before the battle began. So Krishna personally tried to stop. But whoever actually headed by the Buddha did not listen to Krishna's proposal. Then the battle took place, and although the battle lasted only 18 days, practically all the Kshatriyas were killed in the battle. And then Krishna decided to go to Hastinapur to console his sister Subhadra and the other Kuru family members, Kauravas, because all of them lost their children, their husbands, fathers. It was a very painful situation. Krishna decided to go there to console them. And then when Krishna decided to leave, Kunti Devi requested Krishna to continue to stay for a little longer. So in this way, for a long time, Krishna was absent from Dwarka. And then finally, when Krishna arrived in Dwarka, here it will be described how Krishna was received by the residents of Dwarka. Actually, the love is expressed by the way a person is treated. So residents of Dwarka love Krishna. The residents of Dwarka, the residents of the spiritual sky, the pure devotees of the Lord, the universal soul, they love the Supreme Personality of Godhead even more than the that is how deep they are. They don't care for themselves so much, but all their concern, all their care, all their attention, all their love is harsh. So it has been described here how they received Krishna, which was actually an indication of their deep love for the Supreme Personality. And now through this description we actually learn how to love the Supreme Personality, how to love Krishna. And of course, before we learn to love Krishna, we must learn to love Krishna's devotees. It is through our love for Krishna's devotees that we learn to love Krishna. Krishna, although he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although he is everywhere, although he is situated in everyone's heart, but due to our condition, due to our entanglement, the material nature, due to our becoming limited by the limitations of our material body, the senses, we cannot perceive. Although we know that Krishna is there, although we know that Krishna is everywhere, although we know that Krishna is in everyone's heart, although we know that Krishna is in our own hearts, but still due to our material condition, we cannot see. So we cannot love someone whom we cannot see. We cannot love somebody with whom we cannot reciprocate. Therefore, the first thing to love Krishna is to develop a loving relationship with Krishna. And it is through our love for the devotees of Krishna that we develop our love for Krishna. That's why in the Vaishnava culture and in the Vedic scriptures, it has been emphatically reminded of how to develop our loving relationship. When different stages of devotion have been described, it has been pointed out that those who accept Krishna and respectfully worship him, but do not recognize the importance of the devotee, they are considered to be the third class. Archayame Maharai Pujanya Shraddhayahati Nata Bhakteshu Chaneshu Savasta Prabhu. Archayame Maharai, they worship Hari Krishna. Pujaya Pujanya Shraddhayahati, with deep respect, Shraddha. They worship him, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, with deep respect. But not a bhakteshu chaneshu. But they do not recognize the devotee. Sa bhakta prakriti. He is considered to be a materialistic prakriti. Prakrita. Prakrita means the neophyte. He's a devotee. He has accepted Krishna and has become his devotee. But he is considered to be a neophyte, a third class devotee. Because although he recognizes Krishna, he doesn't recognize Krishna. But then, who is a second class devotee? Ishvare Padodineshu Padishu Premo Maitri Kripa Vikha Japa Sama. Ishvare means to the Supreme Personality of God. Tad Adhineshu. Tad Adhineshu means to the Supreme Balisheshu means to the innocent. And Visatsusha, those who are averse, those who are Videshi, those who are offensive, enemy. So today, yes, to the Supreme Personality, he has got pain, love. To the devotee, he has maitri, premo, maitri. To the innocent people, those who do not know Krishna, jaya Krishna. Those who are innocent, who have bent, he has got kripa, mercy, and compassion. And those who are offended, towards them, disregard.
Jakaroti Samartham. He's a second class devotee. And who is a first class devotee? Sarva Bhuteshu Japashet Bhagavad Bhavamatmana. Sarva, he sees every living entity as a part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he sees every devotee as, and in every devotee he sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sarva Bhuteshu Japashet. Chaitanya Charitamrita describes as Sthabor Jangam Dakhe Nadakhe Tar Murti Sarvatra Sphuraye Tar Ishta Deva Sphurti. He sees the moving and non-moving things. Moving and non-moving objects, sthabar and jangam. Sthabar jangam dakhe, na dakhe tar murti, but he doesn't see the external form of those objects. Sarvatra sphuraye tar ishta deva sphurti. Everywhere he sees his worshipable Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, these situations cannot be imitated. We cannot imitate to become a first-class devotee. It will happen naturally if we practice the process properly. But at least we should try to come to the second-class platform. We should try to transcend the first-class platform and come to the second-class platform. Prabhupada pointed out that ISKCON is actually meant for second-class devotees. In order to preach, the purpose of ISKCON is to preach. And in order to preach, we have to learn to discriminate. In order to preach, we have to recognize the greatness of the devotees and the importance of spreading Krishna consciousness. Importance of giving Krishna consciousness to those who do not have Krishna, those who do not know Krishna. That is the second class platform. And upeksha to the offenders. Those who are offensive to Krishna, we do not tolerate them. We do not want to have anything to do with them, we just stay away from them. That is a preacher. A preacher knows Krishna. He recognizes the importance of the association of senior devotees, and he knows the importance of spreading Krishna consciousness by giving it out to those who are innocent, who do not know Krishna, but who are, when they are properly educated, when they are properly informed, they will become a devotee of Krishna. And he stays away from the offensive people. So in order to preach, we must learn to discriminate. Discriminate means we must place ourselves at the feet of the exalted devotees, senior devotees, and we must be willing to give Krishna consciousness to those who are suffering in the material nature due to their ignorance of Krishna consciousness. And then when we preach, when we practice the process of Krishna consciousness, eventually we'll come to the platform of pure devotional service, which is the first class devotees platform. As long as we are in the material nature, we must preach. We must distribute Krishna consciousness. That's why the devotees are of two categories. There are two different categories of devotees. Goshtianandis and Bhajanandis. The Goshtianandis are those who live together with the other devotees and preach Krishna consciousness. That means a second-class devotee. The second-class devotees are Goshtianandis. But a first-class devotee is Bhajanandi. Bhajanandis, they are so much removed from all material consciousness because of their perfect situation in pure spiritual platform, that they are constantly absorbed in associating with Krishna. Although they are in the material nature, they are actually in the spiritual sky. They are not in the although they are physically, apparently, they are in the material nature, but they are not in the material nature. They are in the spiritual sky. And in the spiritual sky, they are constantly associating with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Santas sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti jang syama sundaram achinta gunaswarupam. So they are constantly associating with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are constantly meditating. They are not meditating as such. They are constantly seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Jang Shyama Sundaram Achinta Gunaswarupam. They are seeing the Samsundar form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the reservoir of all inconceivable qualities. Achinta Gunaswarupam. He is the personification of all inconceivable qualities. So that is the stage of samadhi. That is the real stage of samadhi. The yogis try to achieve the state of samadhi in an artificial way, but a devotee naturally achieves that stage of samadhi by being transported to the spiritual sky. And at that stage, he is constantly perceiving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he doesn't have any external consciousness. He doesn't have any external consciousness. Although apparently his body is here, but he is not here. That is the stage of samadhi, that is the stage of a bhajanananda. Bhajananandena mattaliko. The Goswamis of Vrindavan are the Bhajananandis. But should we try to artificially imitate their activities? No, that will be a great offense. Krishna consciousness is not a process of imitation. Krishna consciousness is a process of following the footsteps of the exalted devotees. How do we follow the footsteps of those exalted devotees? By serving their lotus feet. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very much against the activities of the so-called Babajis in Vrindavan, who imitated the dress of the Goswamis. They imitated the dress of the Goswamis. They try to imitate the activities of the Goswamis and try to pretend as if they are situated in their level, whereas they are very much in the mundane platform. They haven't been able to conquer their senses. They are still godasas. They are the servants of the senses. But they try to imitate the activities of a Goswami. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very much vocal about it, and he reacted to that. He exposed that these are not the devotees of Krishna. These are not the followers of the Goswamis. They are actually the offenders to the lotus feet of the Goswamis. And that is why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur accepted the sannyas order. He accepted the sannyas order of wearing saffron robe. And he was criticized by this Goswami, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's line, no one accepts this sannyas order, wearing saffron. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur pointed out that the white that the Goswamis wore is actually the color of transcendence. The color of the spiritual sky, Suddha Sattva, is white. Sattang Vishuddhang Bosudeva Shabditam. The pure goodness, the mode of pure goodness, the spiritual goodness, the mode in the spiritual sky is Bosudev, and the color of that is white. But in the material platform, in the color of material goodness is saffron. The color of goodness is saffron. Color of passion is red, and color of ignorance is black. So the saffron of a sannyasi that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur accepted is to place himself in the mode of goodness, to hold the lotus feet of the Goswamis on his head who are situated in the spiritual sky. And that is why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was so upset with these offenders. He took the lotus feet of his spiritual master, Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. Shakshad Vairagya Murtaye. The personality who is the personification of renunciation. A personality like Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj can wear the white because he has nothing to do with the material nature. He is a personification of renunciation, Shakshad Vairagya Murtaye. Because he is completely detached from the material nature, he is transcendental to the material nature. That's why his wearing the white of the Goswamis is befitting. Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Yes. Those who are, they are situated in the transcendental platform, and for them to wear the white of the Goswami is perfectly all right. But those who haven't been able to conquer their senses, conquer the urges of their senses, they should not pretend to wear the pretend, the activities and the dress of the Goswamis. And actually Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur established Krishna consciousness movement through the institution that he created in a perfect way for this age. We are meant to become Goshtiyanandis. Mahaprabhu's movement is Sankirtan, collective endeavor. Collectively we must serve the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada. We should not try to imitate the activities of the Goswamis. And collectively, when we serve, our situation is safe. Jai Shri Radha Madan Mohan Ki. Because the senses are very dangerous. Durvara Indriya Grama. The senses are very dangerous. Sharir Abhidya Jal, Jarendriya Tahe Kal. Jara Indriya means material senses. The material senses are extremely dangerous. And it is impossible. Take jeta kothino sangsare. It is very impossible, very difficult to conquer them. Conquer the senses, the urges of the senses. But if we remain in the association of devotees, then we are safe. When you are in the association of devotees, then the association of devotees give us the protection. Otherwise, one can fall down very easily. In this age of Kali, it is practically impossible to remain situated on the spiritual platform on our own. We'll fall down to the material platform. Falling down to the material platform means becoming victimized by the urges of our senses. Like we have these four principles. That we don't eat meat, no non-vegetarian food, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. When we are in the association of devotees, following the principles is not at all difficult. But if we are not in the association of devotees, it will be impossible to follow these principles. We have seen that many very serious devotees, exalted devotees, advanced devotees, when they give up the association of devotees, when they go away from the association of devotees, gradually they fall down. They may not fall down immediately, but slowly, slowly fall down. So, Srila Prabhupada knew, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur knew, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur knew, how to protect the spiritual life of those individuals who will seriously take to Krishna consciousness. And that's why they created this institution, Bhakti Sri Vinod Thakur gave the blueprint of that institution in the form of his Namhat. Then Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur created the Gauriya Math, the same institution that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave in the form of a blueprint, became manifest in the form of Gauriya Math. And then Srila Prabhupada, when he spread this movement all over the world, he gave this same shape in the form of ISKCON. And that way, in spirit, there is no difference between Bhakti Vinod Thakur's Namhat, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's Gauriya Math, and Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON. And what this structure or what this institution is giving us, this institution is securing our spiritual life. Especially for brahmacharis and sannyasis, this society is giving the protection. The householders are safe. Householders are safe because they are secured in a fort, Durga. Inside a fort, because of their situation, they are relatively there in a safer situation. But the brahmacharis and sannyasis, they need a very special kind of arrangement to maintain their spiritual life, especially in this age of Kali. Unless we have the institution, we wouldn't be able to maintain our spiritual standard. Previously, one day I mentioned about one very wonderful sannyasi godbrother of ours, who's very exalted, very strict, very exemplary. But unfortunately, he drifted away from the association of devotees. And then gradually, he gave up his sannyas and became, now he is so far removed from the sannyas order of life. For a sannyasi to give up his sannyas order is the most unfortunate thing. Sannyasi should never ever give up their sannyas order. Therefore, in ISKCON, we have such a strict standard of giving sannyas. Because those who accept sannyas should not do that whimsically. They should be completely confident that they will be able to maintain their sannyas order. Because giving up sannyas is another kind of committing suicide. Anyway, so Srila Prabhupada took the risk giving young individuals sannyas. But Prabhupada also was very emphatic that once you take sannyas, shouldn't give it up. And to protect our spiritual life, Srila Prabhupada created this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So if we remain in ISKCON, our spiritual life is safe. If we go away from ISKCON, our spiritual life will be doomed. So we should be very, very careful about that. ISKCON means association of devotees. So when you remain in the association of devotees, then we can individually protect our spiritual life and collectively help each other to spread Krishna consciousness movement. These are the only two objectives that we have. Our main objective, our only goal now as members of ISKCON is simply that, to protect our spiritual life and help spread Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. So to go back to the purport, it is described that this verse actually is describing that when Krishna arrived in Dwarka, then the way Krishna was greeted, it appeared that Krishna has been compared here to a monsoon cloud. There was this white umbrella above Krishna's head that looked like the sun. The chamaras that they were swinging, fanning Krishna, appeared like a moon. The flowers that were being showered upon Krishna appeared to be like the stars. And and Krishna's Krishna's yellow garment appeared to be like the lightning. Now Prabhupada in the purport is pointing out that these are the contradictions, apparent contradictions. The sun and moon cannot be in the sky simultaneously. When the sun is up, the moon becomes insignificant. And lightning and rainbow, the Krishna's garment has been compared to the rainbow as well. So, lightning and rainbow cannot be there in the sky simultaneously. When does the lightning come? Before the shower. And when does the rainbow come? After the shower. So these are apparently contradictory things. But Prabhupada is pointing out that Krishna, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, possesses inconceivable potency. And it is by due to the inconceivable potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, yes, this analogy is appropriate. The analogies are examples. So, but at the same time, the examples, according to the Sanskrit grammar, the examples examples should be befitting. Examples should not contradict each other. But here, apparently, these examples are contradicting. Like if somebody says if somebody writes a poetry, say for example, and in the poetry there's a description how the sun is in the sky and the moon was radiating its light, no one will accept it. So that is contradictory. Sun and moon cannot be there simultaneously. In regular poetry, if somebody, generally in poetry, these alankars, the ornamentations are there in the form of analogy. Like the moon-like face, these are the analogies. The face is beautiful. The face doesn't look like moon, but the moon is beautiful and the beauty of the face is is exemplified through in the form of comparison with the moon. Beautiful as a moon. Or cool as a cucumber. There are such expressions. And fresh as a daisy. These are the analogies. Fresh as a daisy, cool as a cucumber, hot as, angry as fire, fast as the wind, and so generally analogies are given in appropriate way. But apparently, here in this verse, it has been pointed out that the white umbrella above Krishna's head, the chamaras that are swinging, and white feathered fans, semicircle, showers of flowers fell upon the road, his yellow garment and garlands of flowers made it appear as if a dark cloud, Krishna has been compared to a dark cloud, and was surrounded simultaneously by sun, moon, lightning, and rainbows. So Prabhupada in the purport has pointed out that, these analogies are not befitting because they're contradictory. But in case of Krishna, these contradictory analogies are perfectly harmonized because Krishna, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, possesses inconceivable potency. And due to his inconceivable potency, he can make impossible possible. And that is why Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For Krishna, nothing is impossible. For Krishna, everything is possible. Krishna can make an ant hold the universe. Krishna can make huge planets float in the space. So if Krishna can do that, Krishna can make both sun and moon come up in the sky simultaneously. So that is how a devotee first of all has to understand Krishna's inconceivable abilities. Krishna can do anything. For Krishna, nothing is impossible. Sometimes, actually the other day, somebody was asking me that sometimes people don't believe that Krishna is real because there are so many unbelievable things related to him. Like in one hand we are saying, and he actually gave the example, that the battle of Kurukshetra, in the battle of Kurukshetra, how could Krishna speak Bhagavad Gita? Like speaking Bhagavad Gita took how long? If we consider 700 verses, to speak 700 verses, would at least take, even if we take one verse takes 10 seconds, so 700 verses means almost 120 minutes, about 2 hours. So how could Krishna speak Bhagavad Gita in the battlefield of Kurukshetra? The conch was already blown, which means the war already started. When they blew the conch shell, that meant that the war already started. Everyone blew conch shell. Not only that, that Bhishma blew the conch shell. Bhishma was the first one to blow the conch shell. Tatsha sangjanayan harsham kuru briddha pitamaha. Kuru briddha, the grandsire Bhishma, blew his conch shell in order to enliven Duryodhana. And then everyone started to blow. Krishna blew his Panchajannang, Dhananjaya, Rishikesha. What is Arjuna, Arjuna's? Devadatta, Dhananjaya. And in this way, different soldiers actually blew their conch shell, which meant the war already began. This blowing conch shell meant is something like in a race. What happens? You blow the whistle, or you fire the gun, and then everyone starts to run. Right? It was something like that. The conch shell was blown, so that means war already started. But then Krishna actually started to tell Arjuna question, Krishna answered. It's a long time. It took a long time. So, what is the answer? He's saying that, it's impossible that how can such a long discourse could take place in the Battle of Kurukshetra when the war already began. Anyway, my answer to him was that the unfortunate thing about those people is that they do not understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Krishna can make anything happen. Krishna can, if Krishna wants, he can shrink 2 hours in 1 second. If Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he can either do that. He is the controller of time. He can make 2 hours shrink into 1 second. Or if we can't accept that, then we can say that Krishna hypnotized everyone. They went into a sleep for 2 hours when Krishna told Bhagavad Gita. And after he completed Bhagavad Gita, they all woke up. Krishna can do that. So in this way, Krishna can make it happen with his inconceivable potency. And I told him one story. Actually, this question was asked by Mr. Babulal Gore, the ex Chief Minister of Madhya Pradesh. I went to meet him the other day, and he had a long discussion this way. And so I gave one example that once a very old man from South India decided to go to Badrinath. Now, all the way from South India to Badrinath is a long journey, and he, after a great endeavor, lot of difficulties, finally he arrived Badrinath. But unfortunately, when he arrived Badrinath, it took him so long to reach there that it was a time for Badrinarayan to go down to Joshimath. During the winter time, Badrinarayan, the Lord, goes down, because Badrinath becomes completely covered with ice. And there is nothing at that time. Everything freezes there. So, and that man was very heartbroken. He came all the way to see the Lord in Badrinath, and now the Lord is just leaving. And he knew that he will never have an opportunity to come to Badrinath again. So he was he felt so bad, he decided that I won't leave this place, I'll just stay here. Because I came all the way to have the darshan of the Lord and I couldn't get the darshan, so what's the use of going down? So I'll just stay here. So when the people, those who were leaving, they saw him, they said, hey, come, let's go down. And he said, no, I won't go down, I'll just stay here. So they tried to persuade him. They said, look, soon the place will become covered with snow and ice, and then the wolves will come and they'll eat you up. The hungry wolves all will eat you up. And you won't have any food to eat here. And for 6 months, there won't be anything here. No food, no water, nothing. Everything will freeze. And so he was adamant. He said, no, I'm not going. So finally, everyone left, and he was just left behind. And it was a moonlit night, so he was there, and at that time he saw one man came on a horseback, and he said, the man on the horseback said, "What are you doing here?" And he told him what happened, and he said, "Look, I also lost my way, and so it's night, so I thought I'll just stop here." And he said, "By the way, do you know how to play dice?" He said, "Yes, I know play how to dice." So he said, "Let's pass some time by playing dice. Let's pass the night playing dice." So throughout the night, they played dice. And in the morning, they heard the sound of kirtan and sound of different musical instruments. And they heard the sound of people speaking and chanting. And then soon they saw that all these people, those who went down with Badrinath, came back. And so when they came back, they saw him and they were surprised. They say, "Hey, you are still here." And he asked, "What happened? I thought you were gone for 6 months. You just came back." So then they found out, this man found out that 6 months actually went by. To him, what appeared to be just one night, it was actually 6 months. And after 6 months, Badrinarayan came back to Badrinath. So then he started to look for that person who came on a horseback, and he couldn't find him. So then he realized who that person was. So this is an example how the Lord can shrink 6 months into one night. So if he can shrink 6 months into one night, can he shrink 2 hours into 1 second? So this is the inconceivable potency of the Lord. So as a devotee, we should never ever doubt anything that has been spoken about the Lord, no matter how impossible it may appear to be. He lies in the causal ocean, and as he breathes, the bubbles that are created, each bubble is an universe. Is it possible? Yes, for him everything is possible. He glances towards Maya, towards Mahamaya, and the whole creation becomes manifest. Is it possible? Yes, it's possible. You know the story of that cobbler and Narad Muni? When Narad Muni told the cobbler, a simple illiterate cobbler, that what Lord was doing in Vaikuntha, he was passing the camels through the eye of a needle, or elephants through the eye of a needle. Eye of a needle is very small, and an elephant is so big. What was the Lord doing? He was passing the elephants through the eyes of a needle. And he started to dance in ecstasy. Oh, how wonderful the Lord is. So Narad Muni asked, did you accept that he was passing the elephants to the eye of a needle? And don't you think that it is impossible? He said, why should it be impossible for the Lord? If he can put, he picked up a small little seed, a tamarind seed. And he said that if the Lord can put this huge tamarind tree inside this seed, why can't he pass an elephant through the eye of a needle? If he can put a huge tree inside a small little seed, this is the incarnate. Why can't he pass an elephant through the eye of a needle? So these are the inconceivable, these are the examples of the inconceivable potency of the Lord. So when it comes to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we have to understand that we are dealing with the achinta, inconceivable. Chinta means thought, function of the mind. And achinta means beyond our mental perception. With our mind we cannot grasp the ability of the Lord. Anything is possible for Him. And He can make impossible possible. And that is the foundation of devotion. He can do anything. Krishna can do anything. And therefore we should depend upon Krishna. If anyone who can save us from this dangerous ocean of material existence, it is Krishna. Only He can save us. Although material nature is extremely dangerous, but if we take shelter of Krishna, He will deliver us from this dangerous ocean of material nature and take us beyond this ocean to the spiritual sky. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari.